What's up, ladies and germs? This is Rob J, a.k.a. the Booze Hound.
This is White Star, a.k.a. Elbow Deep in Asshole.
Welcome to Booze with the Hound podcast, where we review booze and get into the fucking true crime shit.
The nitty gritty.
The nitty fucking gritty. The
dirty, dirty.
Yeah. So, how's your week been, Wit?
It's been fucking stressful. College students out there, you know it's finals time right now.
Mm-hmm.
I have so much to do. Like, after this, I'm probably going to go home, sleep, and wake up and do homework all weekend.
No, don't do that.
Shut up.
don't do that. You don't need school, kids.
Shut up.
Yeah, you do. Kids, stay in school. Garrett, stay in school.
Owen.
Just drop out and come work full time for our company, please.
Please come back. We love you. We miss you.
Oh, man. Yeah, no. What a week it's been.
Yeah, no, seriously.
Definitely.
How's your week been? I heard it's been pretty crazy with you and your kid and shit.
Yeah, no, it's been pretty stressful. If you don't know, I have a young lad.
We youngin',
about 9 months. So this past weekend, he actually had a fever pretty high.
Boy's about roasting on the insides.
No, yeah. 103 fever. He was cooking. You know, for you first-time parents out there, you know how stressful it can be with your kid. And that's exactly how it was for my fiance and I.
Yeah.
You know, on Friday night, he had a really high fever, had some stool that was the color red.
But and it wasn't blood. What was it?
No, it was actually prune juice because we were giving him prunes because he was constipated and he let it all out and we thought it was blood.
Oh, my God.
So we freaked out, took him to the emergency room, paid $200 for the visit, and they gave him a fucking little syringe of Tylenol.
There you go. So how much did that cost the store? $10 for a bottle of Tylenol?
Probably 10, maybe less. So I paid $200 for that fucking shit.
Jesus Christ.
He's good now. But, you know, yeah. If you know anybody with a kid, if they're sick or something, fucking check on them.
Drop on by.
Yeah. Shoot them a text or something. Hey, how's your kid doing? Because, you know, from personal experience, something like that, you just kind of feel really, really alone. Don't know what to do if it's your first kid or whatever. So people checking on you, it really does go a long way.
Yeah.
Luckily, I have... you know, my family and my friends that were checking and, you know, giving us some advice that was really helpful. So that was good. So shout out to you guys. Thank you.
Yeah. Shout out to you guys.
Yeah. It was a big help. But yeah, for you parents, fucking follow your gut. If you think something's wrong, don't think you're overreacting. It's better to overreact than underreact.
Yeah.
If something's really wrong. But yeah, should we?
Yeah, I know my 8 kids, man. I just fucking every time that just fucking Bobby Brown is smacking yeah. upside the fucking head,
shooting his kids into any orifice, fucking everywhere.
Bobby Brown's on a sock.
Yeah, he was just in my bathroom, so I got to clean that up a little later.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, spill on aisle fucking 3.
It's almost the end of No Nut November.
Oh, this guy's. He's backed up, ladies. He's backed up.
It's a fucking power washer right now.
Yeah.
What are we drinking today, though, for real? What are we drinking?
We getting into that?
We got to get into that.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're getting into the beer review that I'm having at the beginning of my episodes. So so today, we're drinking a beer.
A beer. That doesn't look like a beer, but it's a beer.
Wyatt and I took a little trip to not BevMo.
No.
Where do we go?
Total Wine.
If you haven't been here, it's literally the Costco of alcohol.
There's literally alcohol stacked to the ceiling.
You got to get a ladder to get to the top of that shit.
This shit's crazy.
So we walk in.
I just about nut myself.
I'm on hard. 150%.
I lost No Nut November walking in there.
Yeah. I lost it in October walking into that shit. So we walk in, mosey down the aisle. I kind of look for stuff that catches my eye. White actually saw some pretty cool bottle.
I saw one. You'll see. We'll do that one next week. You'll do that one next week.
Next week. That's for next week's review. Two birds with one stone. We're killing 2 weeks in there one day. So the one that I picked up for today actually is called Prankster.
Prankster's with a Q.
With a big fucking Q right in the middle of the bottle. It's a big bottle. White read the contents. That I thought were in the fucking metric system because it's from fucking Belgium.
No, it is. It is. That's the thing. Because it says 1 pint, 9.4 fluid ounces, which is obviously not correct.
Because it's huge.
It's fucking huge. This is bigger than my dildos I use.
Whoa.
Sorry.
That's large.
Large. It's 25 and a half fluid ounces. So what is that like?
It's like your standard Budweiser tall can at the gas station.
It's fucking big.
That's like two beers.
Fucking hefty.
Two beers.
Holy shit. Look at the graphic on here, man.
We got some let's describe this a little bit for you.
It's a black and white pub.
Uh-huh.
With all these really nice, beautifully plump white Belgian men.
These guys are smashed.
They're fucking smashed.
They are what my Saturday night should look like.
Oh. This dude over here looks real creepy.
Yeah.
I guarantee you he's the owner.
He actually looks...
Well, look, everybody else is drawn in, and then he's photoshopped in there.
Oh.
You see?
Oh, I see that.
It's like an old Renaissance painting. There we...
Wow. That's a little...
That's a little Easter egg for you guys.
Where is...
The owner.
Where is... What the fuck is that guy with the sweater?
Waldo.
Waldo. Where's Waldo? We got a fucking Waldo here.
Yeah, no, and he's like... the owner.
No, but there's dudes fucking, there's one dude fucking smashed right in the middle of the bottle. He's leaning, he looks like the letter L. He's leaning the fuck over. There's a couple other dudes they're really
a dude who's
fat and smashed.
His face is melting off.
There's a guy whose face is literally, he looks like his face is melting into the glass that he's drinking the beer in. So he's drinking his face.
He's drinking himself.
There's a couple dudes whispering in each other's ears. I don't know what they're talking about, but probably, you know, they're going to go fondle each other at the end of this night.
Yeah.
A couple cheers. Yeah, it looks like it's an interesting scene.
It is.
Let's
see. Is it taste as good as the picture, though?
I don't know. Let's check it out. This isn't your traditional beer bottle. It does not have a cap on it.
It's got a champagne cork with a little wire cage on it. It's got a
cork. You got to untwist the wire. So let's see. Untwisting it now. Let's see. Can you get a little... Can you hear that? Can you hear that at home, guys?
Rob, stop playing with my belt.
All right, sorry. Took the little metal chastity belt off. We're about to fucking pop this.
It's gonna fucking shoot me in the face.
So let's see if you can get a little sound of this.
I love you guys. I'm sorry. Goodbye. Ooh, that was actually really. Ooh,
that was smooth. Got some smoke trickling. Let me vape that real quick.
Trying to get a hit because your fucking vape's dead.
All right. So just from initial smell, smells pretty good.
Let me get a whiff.
Traditional little ale. Not overpowering. It's not too hoppy. It smells pretty smooth. Let's hope it goes down as smooth as it smells. That smells
so good.
No, it does. So let's wait. It's a big bottle, so I'm going to pour it into a glass right now. My Fresmo glass.
Fresmo for Movember.
Shout out to Aaron. So let's see how this goes.
Ooh.
You hear that, ladies and gents? Ooh, here we go.
I literally just nutted.
Yeah. So, just from...
That's a good size head, though.
Yeah, that's a nice head right there.
It's really nice. Here. Let's get a picture of this. Hold up the bottle. Peep this on his Instagram. BoozeHoundCast. See what he's
scope thinking. It out.
Tossed. Right, sick. Check us out at BoozeHoundCast, Elbow Deep Cast, Instagram, Twitter.
Yeah, so this looks a little darker than your traditional ale. So it's a little darker. It's about my piss color. smells good. I got some good aromas coming off there. Definitely Smell the fucking barley.
Fucking barley.
Little wheat on there. So let's give it the old taste-a-roo here. That's a good fucking beer.
That's a good fucking beer.
That's a good beer. That's smooth. Doesn't sit on your palate too long. It's got a good flavor. No aftertaste. Maybe a little bit, but nothing overpowering. Too pungent.
Is it hoppy at all?
You can taste a little of the hops, but it's not on the IPA level.
Okay.
It's really smooth. Gives you the flavor, but then it goes down. Doesn't linger.
That's good.
Doesn't linger. So I would definitely recommend this to any first-time beer drinkers. Smooth beer.
Nice again, and smooth.
This is Pranksters. Got it at Total Wine. Really good beer.
I'd buy it just for the bottle, honestly.
I like it. So I'm going to sip on this. Get a little fucked up.
I'm going to be drinking some man juice.
Ooh. Rockstar.
Blackout.
Yeah, it's pretty... This is bad for his heart. He's going to have a heart attack on this podcast. One day or another, ladies and gents.
Shit.
Yeah.
Tastes like shit.
But yeah, let me drink this. I kind of noticed on the last podcast, I didn't really explain why
Robert.
And why it kind of got into this kind of genre of podcasting. Just for anybody who knows us, anybody who kind of follows me on my music Instagram, this would kind of be a little out of left field.
Like, yeah,
oh, why the fuck are you random. Doing a true crime serial killer kind of type of shit, crazy shit.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, it's just something that I've always been into that, you know, ever since I was...
No, we're good. Sorry.
Okay. Ever since I was a young kid, you know, I used to watch Unsolved Mysteries...
First 48.
First 48. Well, that's, you know, that was when I was a teenager. But when you were a kid.
When I was in back of my day.
But yeah, I mean, serial killers, shit like that. It's always just fascinated me. Just the fact that people are capable of doing shit like this. Just because, you know, in your everyday life, yeah, you really don't like somebody, but are you going to fucking kill them?
Yeah.
Are you going to do some crazy shit against them or...
like what drives somebody's mind to that point?
Yeah. And just like mysteries like the fucking Bermuda Triangle, fucking stuff like that. Like what is really going on?
Sasquatch.
Yeah. Bigfoot. You know, so that's really the reason why I've always been into it. I know Wyatt and I have talked about it and the same thing.
We share same interests.
Yeah, same interests. So, you know, why not fucking do a podcast about it, right?
Yeah.
So, on today's episode.
Alrighty. Alright.
Let's get into the fat. Let's get into the fat.
The juicy, juicy goodness.
So, I wanted to keep it kind of local.
Oh.
So, on today's episode... I got serial killer.
Ooh.
By the name of. Let's get some dramatic music going. Carrie Stainer.
They were going to say Carrie Underwood.
Carrie Underwood, she used to be a serial killer. That's how she got her record deal, actually. No, this gent goes by the name, well, his God-given name, Carrie Stainer. what are you laughing at? His last
Carrie Stainer?
Yeah, he used to.
Is his middle name Jizz?
Yeah, Jizz Stainer. He used to wet the bed a lot when he was young. And they say, hey, honey, we got a fucking Stainer here.
We got a fucking Stainer up in here.
A fucking Stainer.
Fucking gay dude.
So that's not his actual. No, it's really his last name. But so this man, he. Committed some crimes up in Yosemite National Park, which is basically our backyard.
Yeah, it's like an hour and a half.
Fucking right
hour and
here.
A half away or so.
So anybody local that's listening to this, some shit went down there. Some shit went down back in the day. So yeah, let's get into this guy. Let me give you a little bit of background.
Let's hear about him.
On who he was, what kind of person he was. So this man here, Kerry Stainer, he was born on August 13th, 1961. But like his whole background, I saw a couple of interviews with him and shit, or about the whole case. And, you know, his sisters talk about him acting weird and just being kind of, you know, we'll get into that shit a little later.
Alrighty.
But, Let me set the scene a little bit. So this is Yosemite National Park.
All right. Okay. I'm going to roll with you. The fact that he killed people in Yosemite is kind of scary because if you go up there at night and you're in the woods and shit,
oh,
that's just creepy, man.
Oh, that is a fucking nightmare. That's what the horror movies are based on. And yeah. Shit.
People like this.
Exactly.
A living horror movie.
You know, and this shit's basically in our backyard.
Yeah, it's an hour and a half away.
Yeah.
He's easily been to Fresno and Clovis a bunch of times. Exactly.
Yeah. So you know, we had a friend a couple months ago got proposed to up there.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So it's a nice place.
It's a common place for us, so we know it, and it's, you know, it's weird to hear stuff like this.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a safe place. Some of the like articles I read and documentaries, they say that Yosemite is second in California to visitors, second to Disneyland.
Oh wow.
So they have over 3 million visitors a year.
That's crazy.
And I mean, you think about Disneyland.
You can't get away with a murder in Disneyland.
No, because you think, oh, I'm going to Disney, I'm safe. Yeah. Right? I'm going to go to Disneyland. It's
a tourist spot, not a lot of shit happening.
You feel
lands.
Safe, so there's nothing for you to worry about. And it's such a beautiful place. If you haven't been up to Yosemite, fucking breathtaking views.
Go up there.
It's wilderness.
Obama's been there. He posed next to a 420 sign.
Yeah, Trump's been there. I don't know if he has or not. All right. He's going to build a wall up there and just keep all the fucking nature out.
Keep the nature out.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's a really fucking nice place. You know, you got your trees. You got the big old red. I remember when I was a fucking third grader.
Yeah, going out there for that field trip?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You go out there for the field trip. You know, you go through that big old dead fucking tree and that right in the middle.
Crazy.
And then you go up there and it's just a bunch of snow. You know, I've been up there a handful of times. It's kind of sad because we live right next to it that we don't go up there a bunch of times. But there's people that come from around the world just to go visit that place.
My grandma actually lived in Yosemite.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. She was a bus driver up there on the regular bus that would take you to and from like tourist sites.
Yeah.
She was one of those drivers.
Did she kill anybody?
No, actually. Surprisingly not.
Wow. I, you know, related to you, I wouldn't put it past her.
Oh, thanks.
No, but this place it's a beautiful place. It really is.
Yes.
And just the fact that it's such a heavy populated place, you would never think.
It's something like that would be going on.
You know, your safety is compromised up there.
Yeah.
So, let's get into the background. Well, I mean, I guess that's where we were kind of going.
Yeah, that's where we're going with
background
this.
Background of this guy.
Just meandering little talks all to his background.
Right. So, Kerry Stainer, you know, like I said, he was born into a pretty religious family. Pretty strict from some of the documentaries. You know, I watched a few documentaries on this guy. Interviews with people that he knew, family, friends, and cousins and shit. This guy was a pretty weird guy.
Alrighty, like weird from the start.
Yeah, he was a loner. There was an interview, some dude that knew him from like middle school up to a high school and shit.
Yeah,
he was. Kind of he wasn't a social guy or anything. Kind of kept to himself. Right. Really, really into art. That was his goal in life.
Was to be
an artist.
Okay.
To be like a cartoonist and shit. And that's fair. And yeah, he used to draw a bunch of shit. If you want to pull up some of the...
Let's see.
I don't know if you want to look up some of his artwork. In one of the documentaries I saw, there was some pretty crude shit that he drew that was like in the yearbook or something. But, yeah, so average family. He had a few siblings. He was the oldest out of everybody. And he actually went through a kind of a traumatic.
Oh, that, I don't remember.
Yeah, it's from the... It's from the court.
I'm not pulling up anything, right?
He's pulling up some bullshit right now. Yeah, so he kind of went through a traumatic phase when he was in his teens. His younger brother, whose name was Steven Stainer, he actually got kidnapped when he was 7 years old. Yeah, he got kidnapped when he was 7 years old. And it was this big old, you know, thing. Media was involved and shit.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So people speculated that, you know, when this happened, it really affected him.
Yeah, that would affect anybody.
I mean, just anybody who has to deal with shit like that, you know, whether it's your parents or if it's your sibling, you're gonna be affected by it pretty bad.
Yeah.
So. It was him and his younger brother, and they were the only two males in the family.
Really?
And so they say that since his brother got kidnapped, everything kind of fell on him.
Okay, yeah.
As the only male in the family. And his dad kind of withdrew from the family.
Jesus, that's harsh.
Yeah, he was like, he wouldn't eat dinner or anything with them. He would pretty much just cry. No, like, yeah. He would leave, go to a different room. Vacant. Yeah, yeah. He would just, you know, cry himself through the whole night and shit.
That's crazy.
And his mom was never really affectionate. So she didn't give any of the kids the comfort that they needed throughout the whole situation. And through this whole time, they were just pretty much like, you know, you need to look out for your sisters. You need to make sure this shit doesn't happen.
Yeah. That's a big thing to put on a kid like that. Yeah.
And there's a couple interviews with one of his cousins who, she's a female, and she was really close with the family. And she says she pretty much grew up with them. And she said whenever this happened,
yeah,
it really affected him. Because everything fell on him. And he kind of beat himself up about it and was like, you know, I was an older brother. I should have been there.
Yeah,
because it happened after school one day when the younger brother was walking home.
Oh fuck!
And it was actually some dude. He was a convicted child molester.
Jesus.
His name was Kenneth Parnell.
Yeah.
And he was the one who kidnapped his brother. He actually took him up to Yosemite, into a cabin, where he held him captive.
What?
And, yeah, like, Carrie beat himself up about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, he felt like he was responsible. But from these documentaries that I was watching, there was several accounts of him when he was younger just being a really weird fucking, a weird kid.
Just a weird dude.
He would watch, like, his younger sisters, like, get undressed.
Oh.
He would role play. Like, different scenes. Like, there was one account where his cousin remembers his little sister or one of his sisters. I think he, like, tried to attack her and she hit him with a broomstick and he fell on the floor and she remembers just a bunch of blood everywhere.
What?
And he's on the floor and he gets up and it's just ketchup. And he grabs the sister and starts choking her.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Okay.
And, I mean, just this and like the different artwork. There was one documentary where I saw he was drawing like it was like a baby on a log and the devil was trying to get him or some shit.
This one right here?
Oh yeah, you have it right there.
Yeah.
And I think that was featured on one of his yearbooks or something.
Really?
It was like he used to draw like kind of comic strip type of things. But there was like demons and different, you know, just like weird shit like that. And this was a disturbed kid.
Yeah.
He needed help from when he was younger. The whole thing with his brother happened. He never got any help. So he pretty much grew up like that. And from some of the interviews, you know, they recall him just being kind of like a sexually kind of
deviant.
Yeah, just sexual deviant. He would do kind of weird shit, and nobody ever challenged him about it. Like, his family never said shit about it.
Yeah.
His sisters never said shit about it. So it just continued, and he needed help. And 7 years after his brother got kidnapped, he ended up escaping from the captive. And he escaped with a 5-year-old boy who had also gotten kidnapped. And so he came back. I think the story was that the child molester, whatever his fucking name was,
Burnell,
he kidnapped a 5-year-old boy.
Yeah.
And he brought him back, and his brother, his name Steven, he was like seeing himself in the kid, and he was like, he didn't want him to go through the whole, you know, because the whole time this dude was like, you know, fucking sexually assaulting him and fucking whatever a pervert does, you know, fuck you guys, you sick fucks.
Yeah.
So he didn't want the same shit to happen to him. So I don't know if the guy was there or not, but he ended up breaking out. He hitchhiked from Yosemite down to a nearby town, went to the police station, and he, like, the whole media had covered this shit. And this was in the 80s.
Yeah.
And it was like a big fucking, it was a big deal. You know, this kid was 14 when he escaped. I think it's it said that Carrie was a senior in high school when his brother came back, and he was like this big fucking hero. And he came back, he went back to the family, but this child molester had been raising him the whole time. So his brother was like smoking cigarettes and smoking weed, and hell? He had been drinking alcohol. Like, he was raised like that.
Yeah.
So when he came back to the family, like, they kind of let all that shit slide, you know, despite them being all religious and shit. And they kind of bumped heads the whole time.
Yeah, here, look, it says, Steve Stainer said, I returned almost a grown man, and yet my parents saw me at first as at their 7-year-old, so.
Exactly.
That's going to cause problems.
And just them being the males of the family and being raised two completely different ways.
Yeah.
There was some beef between them.
Yeah. It also says that when Steve, his little brother, came back, the parents didn't put him in any counseling or anything. He said his dad didn't need, the dad said that Steve doesn't need any counseling for that shit. It's fucked up.
You know, it goes back to kind of that religious shit.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus will fucking save you.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. So, this guy's fucked up. A few years later, his brother, he's kind of capitalizing on the whole, you know, him returning and shit. He has a book written about him. There's like a TV show and shit. And Steven ends up, or not Steven, Carrie ends up going, just working fucking, you know, dead-end job. He kind of loses that ambition of being a cartoonist.
Yeah.
That he wanted to be originally when he was younger. And he ends up, like, replacing windshields at some, like, dead-end job. And his brother is just, you know, kind of capitalizing on this shit. Yeah. And his brother actually ends up dying in a motorcycle accident.
Yeah, so it says right here.
Yeah. When, I think it was, like, 9 years after he came back.
Yeah, he said he sustained fatal head injuries on his way home from work.
Yeah.
A motorcycle collided with a car.
So he dies.
500 people attended his funeral.
Yeah. It's a big funeral.
And Timmy White, the 5-year-old with him.
Yeah.
Was a pallbearer.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, you know, it kind of, his brother was kind of like the all-star in the situation.
Yeah.
Carrie was the loser.
Carrie's living in the shadow.
And he dies. Carrie continues to work at this dead-end job. He gets mixed up in, like, some weed charges and shit.
Back in the day.
And he actually starts going to like, counseling and shit because he knows he's fucked up. So he gets into counseling. He's in there for a little while. He starts getting treatment. He's going, they give him medication. He's taking shit that can treat, like, psychosis and stuff, which is probably what he has. Some kind of, like, psychological problem.
Probably PTSD as well from everything that happened.
Yeah. And he ends up getting a job up at Yosemite. And from, like, one day to the next, he just disappears. So he's gone. Yeah.
He just doesn't exist anymore?
He leaves treatment.
Oh, okay.
Because he gets a job.
Yeah.
And so he's gone. He ends up working at the Cedar Lodge at El Portal, and that's about 10 miles out from Yosemite National Park.
Which is it's a common place for the tourists to stay during their stays at Yosemite.
Yeah, so they get a lot of people going out there, and it's three women. One of them, well, the mother, her name is Carol Sund, 42 years old, and she takes her daughter, Julie Sund, which is 15 years old. And they have a foreign exchange student.
Sylvania?
Sylvania.
Peloso.
And the whole reason behind the trip is that they wanna take a trip because the foreign exchange student is about to go back.
Yeah.
And they want to show her all the you know...
The United States. Hot spots in California.
Exactly. And so they take this trip from Eureka, California, which is...
it's pretty far north.
Yeah, the Sun's hometown. Mm-hmm. So they take a flight from there to San Francisco, which is where they rent a red Pontiac.
Yep.
Take a drive down, and they arrive to Yosemite National Park on Valentine's Day, which is February 14th, 1999. Check into the Cedar Lodge to room 509. And this is a pretty big property.
Yeah, like 22 acres, right?
Yeah, 22 acres. And this is on the off season.
So there's nobody there.
Not a lot of people there. And the wing, the building where they check into, I think they're the only ones.
On that entire wing?
On that entire
wing. That's pretty creepy by itself.
Yeah. So they're scheduled to continue on this adventure.
Yeah.
And go to the Grand Canyon. And Carol's husband, whose name is Yen Sun.
All right.
Is supposed to pick them up from the San Francisco airport. And they're going to travel down to Arizona. So he shows up a couple hours late, and they're not there. So he's kind of like, you know, he's like, oh, I fucked up.
Yeah.
Whatever. They probably, you know, they probably just kept going. And so he tries to call Carol, doesn't get an answer. And he continues to Arizona. The next day he calls, doesn't get an answer. And so he thinks something's up. So he calls the Cedar Lodge Hotel, and, you know, they're like, oh, they checked out, but they didn't turn their key in. Whatever, they go into the room. The room's pretty, you know, it's
just normal.
It's a normal room. There's some bath towels on the floor, nothing out of the ordinary. And he's getting worried because his wife's pretty, you know, she's on top of shit. She's not. You know,
organized.
Yeah, she's really organized. So he calls the authorities up there, and around this time, heavy rain and shit, and so they're worried like something happened.
Yeah.
So they start searching, and they put this after he calls the next day, they're like, okay, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah.
And more authorities get involved. They put a big search team together.
Okay.
And they search for these three women. And it's like, okay, something's going on. And I think they searched 50,000 square miles.
Holy.
During this whole thing.
That's crazy. That's a lot.
And this family's wealthy. So the husband, he was this big figure up in Eureka. The wife's family, they invested in real estate and shit. So, like, it was a big deal. They were super involved with the media and all that shit. So,
yeah,
it became this big thing. Yosemite's, it's a place where you go
to get away,
to relax. Get away. And this kind of just shook people up. And so, you know, there was these missing women. They had this big search party. They didn't find shit. After they went missing and they searched all these areas, there was a hiker that was about 90 miles away from the Cedar Lodge who went hiking, and he found a burnt up car.
Ooh.
In the middle of the woods. So he called the authorities, they came down, and it looked like there was some paint left and shit, so it looked like a red car.
Yeah.
And it was a license plate that had matched the license plate from the one that Carol's son had rented.
That's her car.
So they went down, they fucking, like, taped the whole area off, whatever, and this car was burnt to shit. If you see pictures of it, it was pretty bad. And so they started doing their investigation around that area, and there was no bodies or anything that they had found.
Yeah.
So they brought a forensics team. They did, you know, to try to get any fingerprints or anything. They ended up finding a purse in that area that had the wallet of Carol's son, and they had, what was it? There was a camera, a couple other personal items.
Yeah.
So at this time, they didn't have any suspects. They didn't have any leads. And there were these, at the time, her credit card, her bank account.
Yeah.
Somebody was trying to access it.
Ooh.
And so they traced the calls, and it came back to these two brothers from Modesto. And these dudes had a long rap sheet. They had been in trouble with the law before, you know, drug charges like meth and shit.
What the hell?
And so these dudes were already in custody for some other shit. And one of them tried to access the bank account. Whatever. So these dudes were the prime suspects right here.
All right.
And so they were in jail.
That makes sense.
And they went in and interrogated them and pressed them pretty heavy.
Yeah.
And one of the brothers was like, "Yo, it was us." You know, confessed to the whole thing. And the other brother, he was like, "No, we had nothing to do with this shit."
Yeah.
And so the authorities were telling everybody, okay, we have the suspects in custody. You know, there's nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. So after they found the car, the next day, because they were just did the forensics on the outside of the car in the area.
Yeah.
The next day, before dawn, they popped the trunk open.
Barely.
And there was two bodies in there.
Oh, my God.
Two crisp.
Burned
up bodies in there.
That's sick.
And so they had to do DNA testing on that shit. And it turns out it was Carol's son, the mother. And after a few more, it was like a week later, they determined it was Silvana.
The exchange
student. Peloso, the exchange student.
Jesus.
And so there was another body missing.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, this whole time, there was interviews with the family and all this shit, and they were just fucking distraught. Like, it was fucked up.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they were like, okay, where's the third body? You know, is she still alive? This and that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this car was found 90 miles away
from That's far.
The original site.
Yeah.
And they had these dudes, they were in custody, they were telling the public, like, oh, we got them.
Yeah. It's cool. We're good.
So they continued their investigation 5 months after these original murders.
Jesus.
There was one more murder. And that was the murder
of Joey Ruth Armstrong.
Joey Ruth Armstrong.
Oh, you know, you didn't. At some point during the first two murders, he had sent a note in to the police. Right? About Julie.
That is correct.
With a map, hand-drawn, and a note written. That is correct. The note said, we had fun with this one.
Yeah.
And the note led right to Julie's body. Okay,
so I fucked up.
It's okay. He's kind of fucked up right now.
I'm a little fucked up, so I fucked up.
It's all right.
Okay, so the killer, he had sent this note to the authorities, and it got lost. You know, there was a lot of shit going on, so it got lost in... I don't know if it was in the mail or what.
Yeah.
But he had sent a letter to the authorities, and it was a map, and it had the exact location of the daughter.
Of Julie.
Of Julie's son, and it said, we had fun with her.
That's fucking creepy.
And so the authorities go to that place, and it was at a lake, and I think it was... Something, it was about the same, something like 90 miles, like 100 miles away. And they go and find the body, and it was already a month after the murder. So yeah. This, you know, she was probably decomposed and all that shit. Sick. But it was her. They determined after dental records and shit that it was the daughter.
Yeah.
And during this time, they had found a wallet in Modesto that belong to Carol's son.
Really?
So that's what, how they got there. Yeah, that pointed fingers more to
those guys.
Criminals. So, you know, they thought they had it in the bag, and it was like, okay. And 5 months after that was the murder
of Joey Ruth Armstrong.
And this was like a pretty fucking brutal murder.
Yeah.
So she was a naturalist. She did tours and shit for people out at Yosemite. And she lived in a cabin with her boyfriend and another roommate. And I guess that weekend they were out of town, so she was by herself. And the authorities ended up finding her body a few hundred feet away from her cabin. And she was decapitated. So it was literally just from the shoulders down.
That's...
And they found her body, and there was... It looked like a pretty gruesome fucking scene. So there was blood, tire tracks. They ended up finding her head a few fucking 100 feet from the creek. And it was a sloppy crime.
Yeah.
So there was witnesses that said they saw a blue Jeep leaving the scene, and there was tire marks, you know, there was all this evidence that wasn't in the previous crime. So these dudes supposedly were locked up. The authorities were saying that these crimes weren't linked, but it happened. Her cabin was pretty close to the Cedar Lodge.
Yeah.
So it didn't take long for people to put the fucking pieces of the puzzle together. And so, you know, people went crazy again. It was like, there's a kid on the loose.
Yeah.
What the fuck's going on? And it ends up pointing into the direction of somebody who was in the area.
Yeah, he knew the area. He knew
exactly. People. And the fucked up thing about it was that this dude, Carrie's son, or not Carrie's son.
Joey.
Carrie Stainer.
Oh, yeah.
He worked at the Cedar Lodge. So he was around this whole thing, right? Yeah,
he knew everything.
He knew everything.
He was inside of investigation.
And the authorities were trying to go back And they were like, it has to be somebody who's in this area.
Yeah.
Who knows this area, who's around. And there was a witness that said they saw a blue Jeep leaving. A park ranger said that he had picked up a hitchhiker that said, oh, my Jeep broke down a few miles back, blah, blah, blah. So the whole description, everything matched. They knew that this dude had the blue Jeep. The authorities found that Jeep the next day at, it was like on the side of the road. They went down and the owner of the Jeep, which was Kerry Stainer, he was sunbathing on the side of the river. And they went and talked to him and they were like, hey, we have a description of your Jeep.
Yeah.
Can you come talk to us? And he was like, oh, okay. And, you know, they were asking him questions and he was complying with them and shit. And they were like, all right, well, you know, you're a suspect. He had a backpack with him and they held on to the backpack.
Yeah.
So they let him go. And when they went back to the police station, they opened up his backpack. He had like some rope and a camera in there and a novel of a crazed serial killer.
What?
And he had said that he knew he was caught.
Yeah.
So he took off. And they were going to go question him again. And he was gone. So they couldn't find him. They put an APB on his vehicle.
Yeah.
Which was the Jeep. And somebody up in Sacramento had reported him at a nudist colony.
Yeah.
And said, he's here.
Laguna del Sol.
Yeah. And said, we have the description of the dude, whatever, he's here. So one of the dudes from, I don't know if it was the FBI or the local police, goes and gets him. And yeah. At this point, it's just questioning. It's not like, oh, you're guilty, whatever. So it's like, we're going to bring you back. We're going to question you.
And talk to you for a little bit.
And after they pick him up immediately, he's like, when they bring him back, he's like, I'm a bad person.
Jesus.
And when they bring him back, I think it said that they brought him back to Fresno County Jail.
Really?
Yeah. So they were holding him there.
Wow.
And they interrogate him, and he's like, I'm a bad person. And he confesses to...
The four murders?
He confesses to the one about Joey Armstrong.
Okay.
And so they question him, this and that. He asks for reporters, and so he kind of tries to play the card of, they say, like, his younger brother, and he's like, if I confess, I want them to make a movie about me. And, right. Yeah.
He wanted the fame like his brother
did. No, exactly.
Wow.
And then once he confesses to it and he's in custody, he just pretty much, like, tells the whole thing about the Joey Armstrong.
Yeah.
And he gives detail. And he pretty much just...
He confessed got himself blown.
And he was just saying that he left clues to throw off the authority, like the whole wallet thing in Modesto.
And he planned it and stuff. Huh?
Yeah, and then he gets into the confession. At first, he pleads that he's not guilty for the son, the three murders in the beginning. He confesses to Joey Armstrong.
Yeah.
But he says he's not guilty about the son murders. But he ends up getting convicted for him. But his whole story, like, he ends up confessing to the whole thing. Says that he went in. It was at night already. He knocks on the door. He says, hey, I'm here to fix a pipe. I'm the maintenance man.
Yeah.
The mom doesn't want to let him in. And he's like, okay, well, I can go get the manager. We're going to relocate you to another room.
Yeah.
And she's probably, like, thinking, like, I don't want to deal with it.
Fix it tomorrow.
Just come in and... No, she was like, just come in and fix it.
Okay.
So he goes in. He says before this whole thing, he had seen them come in.
Okay.
So he was watching. He had fantasies about getting young girls, like, torturing them and shit. So he sees the two young girls with the mom, whatever. So he gets his, what he calls his murder kit, which is his backpack. Has rope, duct tape, a knife, a camera, and a couple other things. And so he calls it his murder kit.
Yeah.
And he goes, tells the mom that. He gets into the room. He goes in, pretends he's fixing something in the bathroom, and he comes out with a gun. And he tells the mom, like, oh, you know, tell him to cooperate, blah, blah, blah. Ends up tying them up, takes the mom into the bathroom, strangles her, and kills her.
Oh, wow.
And he leaves her in the bathroom. Then he comes out, and he's trying to get the other girls.
Yeah.
Tying them up and shit. The foreign exchange student, she ends up getting all hysterical and shit. So he takes her into the bathroom and strangles her and kills her. And so he leaves the daughter, Julie's son.
Yeah.
She's the only one. She doesn't know that they died.
What the heck?
Yeah. And he takes her into another room. He brings the other two bodies out, puts them in the trunk of the Pontiac.
Yeah.
And then he gets the daughter. You know, they drive up to that lake where Julie's son ends up being found.
Yeah.
Sexually assaults her and then kills her.
Disgusting.
And then he drives to that spot 90 miles away from the Cedar Lodge.
Yeah.
And he dumps the car. 2 days later, he comes back with gasoline and burns it.
Jeez.
And then he goes back and he goes back to work and shit.
Just like normal.
Yeah. And during this whole time, the police are investigating and they're interviewing people from the staff and shit. And he's there. And at the bar, he's in there having conversations with people about the whole thing and shit.
Just
playing it off, just like a normal fucking guy. And one of the weird things that one of the documentaries was talking about was that when the FBI was in there interviewing people, they went back a second time to look through all the rooms, and they had to have a staff member escort them through the property, and it was him.
What?
Yeah. So it was crazy because it's like, you know,
he showed them.
It's like one of those things where it's like, keep your friends close, but your enemies closer. Yeah,
that's weird.
So he was involved in the whole thing.
He knew what was going on.
Yeah.
It sounds like something he would enjoy.
Yeah. And it was kind of weird because one of the dudes was trying to confess to it. One of the guys that they had originally got. And he kind of was just like, it seemed like he just wanted attention, right?
Yeah.
So he was like, you know, I did it, blah, blah, blah. And then he did that sloppy crime. And in one of the interviews, it said that he knew he was going to get caught for it. Yeah. Because he had left so much evidence for it. So he was like, I knew I was going to get caught. And I'm glad I did, because if I wouldn't have got caught, I would have kept killing. Or I would have, you know, died.
Yeah.
Like somebody would have killed me. But it was like, it's just really fucked up that he did all this shit and like 4 people lost their lives.
Yeah, because of him.
Yeah. And they asked, like, why'd you kill Joey Armstrong? And he was like, well, I was going to a spot where I had saw Bigfoot.
What?
And I saw her there. And I was instantly attracted to her.
She's a sick dude.
And he was like, I wasn't going to kill her, but she put up a fight, so I had to.
Just a sick dude.
Because he tried to kidnap her, and she broke out.
Yeah.
And he said he killed her because of the fight she put up. And he fucking decapitated her and just left her there.
That's disgusting. And sick dude.
Yeah, so this dude was fucked up. He ended up getting convicted for all the crimes. The Joey Armstrong, her mom didn't believe in the death penalty, so he got life for that.
Okay.
But for the son cases, he got the death penalty.
And why is he? What's his status right now? Is he still alive?
I don't know. Let's look it up. I didn't dig that deep. I didn't get that elbow deep into it.
It looks like he remains in death row as of 2018 September.
So he's still there.
He's still alive.
He's still there. That piece of shit.
Yeah, there's been no executions in California since 2006. Yeah.
So, I mean, I just wanted to do this whole story just because it's close to our home.
Yeah.
But it just goes to show you that...
You never know.
You never know. Because when police were interviewing people, they said that this guy was one of the least... He wasn't suspected at all. They took him off the list right away because they were like, he was really friendly. He was helpful. He was a nice guy. Yeah. He was well-spoken. He didn't seem like he had anything to do with it.
Disgusting.
And it's crazy because, you know, you ride the bus, you could be fucking brushing shoulders with a serial killer.
Yeah.
Right next to you, and you don't even fucking know.
Yeah, you have no idea.
And it's crazy because it could be anyone.
Yeah.
You know, I could fucking murder Wyatt right now. And you wouldn't hear about it till tomorrow.
Till when we post this.
Till after I post the podcast. And then I get a fucking million views.
That's how we're going to blow it, man. Do it here.
And I get my fucking my commissary money right there. Because I'm in prison.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the story of Kerry Stainer. He stained his own...
stained his life.
Stained his life. Stained
people's lives.
Besides his underwear. And
disgusting.
That's it, man. So I'm a little fucked up. Let's hear what Wyatt's got to say.
What, do you think we have time?
Oh shit.
Yep, we're 57 minutes in, guys.
God damn.
Time goes fast when you're drunk. All right, we'll be right back. We're going to talk for a second. And we're back, guys. Well, it's time for my stories, and I actually chose this dude named Samuel Little, and he's actually been in the news recently. He came out of Texas, arrested in Texas, and he was convicted of 90 murders. 90 whole murders. He killed 90 whole people. At least that's what he confessed to. He's been confirmed in 34 murder cases.
God damn.
I know. This dude's a fucking... He's legit a serial killer.
That's a fucking killer right there. Like, how long has it been?
From 1970 and 2000.
He's a fucking OG right here.
Yeah, he's back before you were fucking born, before I was fucking
back,
born.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
This is back before I was swimming in my fucking daddy's nutsack.
Like, this was a while ago. And he'd actually been arrested in 2014, I think, and then, I believe so. And then he eventually admitted to killing up to 90 people.
God damn.
He killed...
Those are confirmed?
There's 34 confirmed.
34.
It's like two in L.A., one in Las Vegas, one in Phoenix, one in Albuquerque, like two in Texas, a bunch all over the Southeast and the East Coast.
Holy shit.
It just doesn't stop, and his trial is actually going on right now for the rest of his murders. You know, this dude's old. He looks old as shit. He looks like a really fucked up Stanley from The Office.
He actually looks like O.J. Simpson.
Yeah,
with
yeah.
really gray hair.
With gray hair and just...
He's in a fucking suit.
He's all pissed and shit. I don't understand how can somebody go and kill 90 people?
You gotta be really fucked up.
Like...
To kill... Like, that's...
Just continuously, over and over throughout the years. And the fact that he didn't get caught just baffles me.
Like, he's gotta be getting paid for this shit.
Is it Hitman? Nah. I think he actually killed mostly women.
Is that what most of his...
Yeah, all of his victims were only women.
God damn.
Yeah, I just understand why did he do it? Like, there has to be something wrong with him. Yeah, he was born in 1940, so you know.
God damn.
This dude's old. He's 76 or holy 78 shit. Right now.
So he didn't start. Well, his confirmed he didn't start kills
until.
So he was a little older.
30, 40, something like that.
So this is like a hobby.
Yeah, but to, like.
It's like I'm gonna start fucking whittling some wood.
Yeah.
Just when I'm that age. No, I'm going to start killing some people.
No, yeah. But his mom was in and out of prison in his life and his younger life, and he was in and out of prison in his younger life in 1956. So, you know, when he was 16 in high school, he was already convicted of breaking and entering at 16.
He's been doing some shit since he was younger.
It says by 1975, he'd been arrested 26 times in 11 states.
God damn.
So you're 25, been arrested 11 times And
that's 10 more times than I have been.
No, been arrested 26 times in that's 11 different
states. 25 times than I have been.
You're missing a number.
What?
You've been, never mind.
Wait, you said 26?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been arrested once.
That'll be a good story for
public
next week.
Intox, booze hound, bitch.
That's going to be a fun story for next week. I'm going to bring that up.
Yeah, we'll bring it up.
All right. I mean, like I said, this is ongoing trial. It was just in the news, I think, like 2 or 3 days ago, right?
Yeah.
And you know, automatically just sparked my interest. So I will for sure bring you guys some updates about him and some future podcasts. I don't have a lot because it's obviously an ongoing case.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll listen to Rob over here rant for an hour on
I'm sorry, guys. Sick
dude. So I'm going to line it up with some of my, you know, my good old classic
let's,
funny
let's
headlines.
Let's lighten it up a little bit, guys.
All right. You ready for this headline?
Let's hear it.
Bank robbery suspect calls ahead with demands for cash.
He calls?
Yeah. Make America, how can I help you?
Fucking hey, millennials, guys.
Hey, I want to be in there in about 20 minutes. I'm going to rob the bank. Can you have my money ready before I get there? Is that, do you guys do that? Is that part of the ordering process? Like, how, I don't, this is my first time. I'm sorry. I know I'm making it awkward and everything.
Can you Venmo me?
Yeah, can you just Venmo it to me?
I'm going to rob you. Can you Venmo me?
I don't like cash. I just, it's such a hassle to carry it. My Venmo is actually a big dick 69.
You got some crypto that you could shoot my way. You got some Bitcoins.
He called it in like a fucking Domino's pizza. Hey, I'm going to be there in 20. Have my cash ready, please. I like it hot. No dye packs, please.
It's some fucking Little Caesar shit. I like my cash hot and ready.
Hot and ready. Yeah, and that's apparently what fucking happened. The guy called in, and right when he called in, he was actually sitting outside at this point. He said, I'm going to send somebody to come pick it up. There's already a dude in the bank, walks over, gives the clerk a note, like, I'm here for the cash.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's like, all right, let me go get it.
Did he have it written out, or was it, like, on his phone, like, on his notes? And he was like, he showed the clerk his phone.
He's like, hey, look at this. Oh, fuck.
Or did he text him, and he was like, hey.
He airdropped it.
Okay.
He used his telekinetic powers.
It's like, turn your airdrop on.
You have an airdrop from Big Dick Lover. But no, yeah. So she went to the back and got the cash.
Right.
And called the police at the same time.
Uh-huh.
And the police walked up and found this dude sitting in his car in the getaway vehicle and arrested him.
Holy shit.
And then walked in and arrested the other guy.
So they just fucked themselves
the
whole way
through.
They
just really fucked themselves.
Wow.
I'll give them props. That's some new age shit right there.
It's not going to work, guys.
It's not going
to
work,
though. It's not. Don't text your bank before you try to rob them.
Hey, what's up? You up right now?
Hey.
Right, let me get some cash.
It's 3 a.m.
You got some cash for me?
You got some...
Send me some pics.
You got some booties. Let me get
I'm thirsty for you.
Let me get a tip pic real quick before I rob you.
Let me get it. Let me get that bank vault pic. Let me see that opening, girl.
Just spread that gape.
Open your gates for me, girl. Oh, my God. All right. How about this one?
Let's see.
Waitress calls cops after man tries to pay with credit card that has her name on it.
Oh.
So this dude went to a restaurant.
Uh-huh.
And outside in the parking lot, he broke into somebody's car and stole their purse.
And then he went in.
And then he went in.
He tried to get some...
Tried to get some food. And when he paid for it, he actually broke into his waitress's car and tried to pay with her credit card.
I've been there. We've all been there.
Come on, guys. Just imagine. Imagine being the waitress and you get handed your own card.
I would have fucking slammed the plate of food in his face.
Up his nose.
Up his fucking nose. And then I would have tipped myself.
Tipped myself. Yeah. Tipped myself real good.
Yeah. Out of my own account. That is fucked up.
That's fucked up. That's just crazy coincidence, but it's a good coincidence. Yeah. That's funny, though.
Wow. That reminds me of a story. One of my many stories.
What's your
story? So I was 18. This actually has nothing to do.
This has nothing.
I just want to tell a story.
I was 18 and my balls finally dropped.
Because it's fucking booze hound.
It's booze hound.
And I'm fucking drunk and I want to tell a story.
He's drunk. You want to tell a story?
Right? Yeah. Let me tell a little story real quick. So I was 18, had just moved out of my parents' house with some buddies. So we get drunk one day. We go to our local Denny's. Well, right when we walk in, we notice this couple. And there's a dude and a lady. And this dude has one leg. And the other leg's a peg leg. And that shit's hanging out of the booth. Just like...
And you're drunk right now, huh?
Just a little bit.
At this point in your story. At Denny's. You're drunk at Denny's.
At this point in my story and at this point in my life. We're about the same amount of drunk.
All right.
So I'm about to slam some fucking all you can eat pancakes syrup all over my body and shit. All
right.
And so this peg leg motherfucker looks me in the eye, and I give him the look in my eye back to his eye to fuck the fuck off. And so we're cool. We're eating. We finish our meal. We're about to leave. And this slick motherfucker slides his fucking peg leg right over to our booth. And he's like, "Hey, you got a car?" And I freeze up and I'm like, yeah, I got a car.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Can you take me to fucking Villa Apartments?" Which is about fucking like 5 miles down the road.
Time.
So we take these dudes to some sketchy-ass apartments, and we're there for about 5 minutes. This peg-leg motherfucker comes hobbling out of some fucking dark corner with a fucking $20 bill in his hand. He gives us the cash. We go, we buy some booze and some cigarettes, and that's it.
That's your story?
That's my story.
You took a crackhead home one day?
We took a crackhead home. He gave us $20, got some cigarettes and some beer, and we got fucked up, and nothing happened.
You know, I find it ironic.
That was good. What do you find ironic?
We just ended the podcast like, you never know who could be a serial killer.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, this guy could have killed us.
All right, how about this headline for you?
Let's see. What do we got?
Thief accidentally hands the clerk his gun.
What? What do you mean? Accidentally hands the clerk his gun.
What? So I read this headline and all I can imagine was this dude's like, "Put your fucking hands up, give me the fucking money.
Put your fucking hands up, stupid."
And he goes, "Oh shit, my shoe's untied. Can you hold this real quick?" Now apparently what fucking happened is this dude brought a bag and a gun in. And he pulls up to the clerk, you know, he's like, "Give me your fucking money." And he goes to hand him the bag.
Yeah.
But accidentally hands him the gun instead.
Can you hold this bag for me?
Again, this dude's like, "I'm sorry, man. It's my first time. It's wrong."
I'm fucking nervous.
I'm nervous, man. I'm sorry.
I got fucking finals, dude.
The clerk's like, "I have your gun right now." And the guy's like, can I get a redo? Can we just act like we never met? Let me just restart this real quick.
Can we trade the gun for the cash?
Yeah.
Can you give me the cash? I get the gun, I get the bag.
Yeah, I get everything at the end.
You fucking lay on the ground. You take your pants off and we're goo.
But imagine being that clerk and you're getting robbed and the robber just hands you his gun.
I'm going to shoot the motherfucker.
Put the money in the fucking gun.
Can you hold my gun real quick, guy?
That's a story to tell as a clerk.
Holy shit. If I did that, if I was a clerk and some guy was robbing me, gave me his gun, and did he give it back, though?
No, he didn't.
No, okay.
Thank God.
Smart clerk.
That would have been funny if he gave it back.
He was like, "Okay, guy, here's your fucking gun."
Yeah.
You need anything else? Is that it?
That it? I'm good.
You need your gun back.
Oh, fuck, maybe, man.
Is your fucking shoe tied? You good?
My shoe tied. I'm good.
Okay, man. Here's the cash.
Here's the cash.
I can live.
You can live?
You're not going to kill me.
No, you're cool.
If I give you this gun back, you're going to kill me?
No. Oh, no, fuck. Did you go to Pikes Peak Elementary?
Fucking Pikes Peak Elementary.
No fucking way.
No fucking way, dude.
Oh, shit. Bobby, is that you?
Dude. Dude, Ricky, is that you?
It's me, Ricky.
Fucking Ricky.
Bobby, dude. What the fuck?
Holy shit, man.
Bobby, how you been?
Holy, I've been good, man. I dropped out of college, man. I work at this fucking store right here,
I know, man. What are you doing? You're slipping, man.
I'm all right, man. I got fucking 52 kids. I'm all right, man. I got fucking food stamps and shit. Goddamn, man.
You've been fucking busy,
You good,
huh?
Man? You need some more money and shit, man?
No, I'm good. It's good. Hey, it was good seeing you, Bobby.
Hey, man. You need a banana or something, man. Fucking, you need some potassium. You look a little slim, man.
A little slim? I'll take a banana, Bobby.
Okay,
thanks,
man.
Bobby.
I got sweet potato in the back, man.
You need I'm okay, Bobby.
All right,
you and your sweet potatoes,
good
Bobby.
Hey, dude. You look like a sweet potato, man. You're looking good.
Oh,
you're
stop
looking
it. Fucking sweet, Bobby, man. Stop.
All right,
that
brother.
One time in the bathroom, man.
Hey, don't
anything.
Bring that shit up, man. Don't bring that shit up, man. That was one time. No more again, man. You good, man?
I'm good, man. All thanks. Right,
man. Good
thanks,
seeing
Bobby.
You, man.
Good
he's a good, man. He's a good. He's a good.
Hey, I'll be real with you, Bobby.
Yeah.
If I ever rob anybody again, I want to be you.
Oh, dude. Any fucking time. You come in here, you rob me any fucking day of the week. I'll give you my gun to rob me.
What?
Yeah.
Bobby, you're a great dude.
Dude. Hey, dude, tell your mom I said hi.
Tell your mom I said hi, too.
Happy holidays, man.
Happy holidays.
Okay, man.
See ya, Bobby.
Later. And that's how that fucking transaction
went
down.
That's exactly how that went down. Jesus Christ. All right, guys. It's fucking 1 a.m.
Holy shit.
We're going to call it. Thank you guys for listening.
Yeah. If you're still with us in this part two of the part fucking two, thank you very
much. Thank you.
Hey, that was a long fucking story, guys. It was a good night.
It was a good night.
We got some people texting us as we speak. When's this podcast coming out?
They're waiting on us.
I'm sweating.
It's pretty hot in here.
I'm eating some fucking chips.
Robert, put your clothes back on, please.
I'm sorry. My shit's fucking dangling.
Yeah, it is.
Off my fucking shorts.
Flopping in the wind right now.
This shit's fucking... Hey.
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 So it looks like we gotta wrap it up. Bar's cutting me off right now.
Last
call.
Just
like they cut White off here.
That's another story for next time. I will tell that story next time.
We'll get into this shit. In the Booze Hound. This is Rob J.
Your co-host, Wyatt Starr.
And thank you guys. We appreciate the listen. Pop a fucking bottle of booze.
Leave a like.
Follow
us on Twitter and Instagram.
Hey, we're everywhere. We're on
Booze
Spotify.
Houndcast,
Where we at?
Apple Podcasts.
Apple
Podcasts.
Spotify.
Pocket Cast. We're going to... Mine's on YouTube. Elbow Deep's on YouTube.
Yeah.
Deep's anywhere.
The next Booze Hound cast. The next Booze with the Hound's gonna be on Booze. Or I don't even know what the fuck I'm
it's
saying.
It's all right. Next Booze Hound will be on YouTube. We'll
on
try
YouTube,
our best.
When Wyatt does not fuck the camera.
Fuck you.
And
I let the lens cap on the whole time.
He did. So we'll be on there. Give us a fucking subscribe. Keep following us.
Link in description.
Yeah. Just any activity we're doing, just follow us on Instagram. You'll see everything we're doing.
Yeah.
But thank you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Have a good fucking holiday. And fuck off, all right?
Peace out.
Later.